Good morning, church. We thank you, Phil, for our Bible reading. Every single week, we try to think of ways as a team. We try to spy things up for you. I hope that you like the addition of the Bible reading, and hopefully that this will ease up as we go through verse by verse. It would be nice that we have someone to read the Bible scripture for us beforehand. I just want to thank Ian for organizing all this to get people volunteer for this. And I hope that when Ian call you up one day, I hope that you will become one of the volunteers, you know, to rotate and come and join us so that you can feel we can put you on the screen and then to show you to our congregation. That's another way that we try to help each other to connect with each other. As we come back to John this morning, I hope that by now you can remember on top of a memory of what the theme of John's Gospel is about. It is about believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing in His name, then you may have eternal life. Now, so notice there are two words there, believe and believing. So this belief that we are talking about here, that John was talking about here, is an ongoing one. It's an action. You know, you don't just say, I believe in Jesus, and then walk away and then live your own, live your life your own way again. You live life following Jesus. It's an ongoing, it's a lifelong journey that will never end. So it will come with testimony after testimony throughout the whole gospel to tell us this same thing again and again and again and again. And this morning is nothing special. It is still the same. It's a different testimony, which looking at a different angle. Last week, we saw what Sue DePie has presented to us about the water into wine, turning water into wine. That was one of the illustrations, a testimony, that to re-illustrate that God's kingdom is so generous, that God is willing to give all the best, give everything that is the best. Not the lousiest, not the second, but the best, the number one thing to the world. That is the generosity of God's kingdom. Now today we are going to come to see that this is an additional to grace upon grace, as it was mentioned in chapter 1 by John from the beginning. You know, so when Jesus is in us, when Jesus comes to us, He is full of grace and full of truth. Grace upon grace, abundant grace that you can't comprehend how that grace is like. So, last week with that generosity of the kingdom, now we come to again and tell us about the kingdom of God, that Jesus Christ is the temple of God. Now, as we come to the scripture today, we see that the scripture could begin with after the water, turning the water to wine. With a group of people, with Mary, the mother of Jesus, biological mother of Jesus, and then with the biological brother, which is presumably should be James, and then with the disciples he selected in chapter 1. And then they came to the first miracle and the first sign in Cana, or the wedding in Cana. Now that is the first miracle and the first sign. That first sign has actually shown us the generosity of the kingdom, and to show us that how kingdom is like, for to give us a taste of the kingdom through that water into wine. Now today we see that they travel from Bethany to Cana and then to Capernaum. Now throughout the whole gospel of John, you will see that there's a lot of occasion that happens. Jesus is always in Capernaum. Now the Capernaum, I think Capernaum might be could be his headquarters at that time for his ministry. That's why it's always surrounding over that place. You see a lot of stories, testimony coming up again and again over there. But this time today, it talks about that he goes back to Jerusalem. The Bible didn't say that whether the entourage followed him or he went alone. But it just said he focused on Jesus today. Because the whole focus, the point was that it's going to show, illustrate to you that he is the God, he's the temple of God. He's a place of worship. Like what we saw from the Hawaii congregation just now, the heart of worship, the way that today, the reason I choose that was because I love the introduction they introduced. You know, God is not someone that you worship in a place. as Christian, we as disciple of Christ, we know we are following Jesus Christ. Everywhere we go in name of Jesus, we are in worship. We worship Him. Other worship, I know people who worship, have their worship at home, but they're not Christians. They are worshippers of idols. But we see that this Jesus went to Jerusalem. For what? For a Jewish Passover. This is a very important Jewish Passover. There's a few things that we're going to go through in the Jewish term. I hope that it will help you to put this cleansing of temple into perspective. Because over the years, I hear so many people preaching about it, and so many people explain about this cleansing of temple. They get it wrong and wrong again. So I'm not going to discriminate anyone, but just want to get right into the Bible and what the Bible say about in the perspective. So the Bible was written to in the Jewish context. So what we can see is that the Jewish Passover, what is that? What is that Passover? This Passover is Jesus. There's three occasions that happened in the Gospel of John. And this is the first occasion. So from these three occasions, we understand, we can tell that Jesus served in the ministry as Messiah for 3 years before he went on to the cross. So, and it happens on the first day of the first month of every year. So they celebrate that. So it's a remembrance day for the Jewish. A remembrance day of what of God rescued them from slavery in Egypt. That was that was the Passover. So it was representation of a God's redemptive work for Israel. But then when we come to New Testament, the Passover and the Exodus incidents actually combine together to give us the Christ redemptive work. We see Christ, we see this Passover and this salvation through Jesus Christ. It all points to Christ. And then when in the New Testament, you never miss where Apostle Paul will say that our Savior, our Passover Lamb, which means that He is the one who removed our sin. So Jesus attended, Jesus, same as any other Jews, He attended this festival, this Passover, attended the temple since childhood time. But this time is a very special one. Because this is the first time He returned to the temple as the Messiah. And what happened? He stepped into the temple courts. Now the temple courts here, we need to understand what the temple courts is like. All right? When we look at the temple courts, this is just an illustration of the third temple. All right, there are four places I want you to look at, the four main places of interest. First is the Holy of Holies, the holy place, the place where only the high priest can go, and once a year. And then the second part is that the area of the men, court of Israel, which is reserved only for the Jewish men. So, and then the third one is court of women. Yeah, women, you have a place in the temple. And then finally, you have the humongous area that is reserved for the Gentiles. Now, when we look at this, if you look at the area, some people actually give an estimation of the size of these Gentile areas. Jesus was probably, when he was cleansing the temple, he was probably in that temple courts. When we talk about temple courts, he was probably in the Gentiles courts. Why? Because that area was so big, it was preoccupied by somebody else. It's supposed to be a place where it's reserved for the Gentiles to worship. Some people even estimated that the area for that Gentile course was about 25 football field. That was that big. How many people can fit in there? Thousands and thousands of people. But yet, Jesus walked in this time and he saw people selling things there, turning into a marketplace. It's supposed to be a house of prayer. And now it's become a house of profit. Jesus came in. And then what he did was that this is a court that is meant to be there. That the Father actually created, structured the whole temple as a temple for all nations. We can see from the temple structure, this is the heart of the Heavenly Father. This is the heart of God. He wants every single one not to miss out on worshiping Him and pray to Him. And when He comes in, Some people sure say that Jesus is angry here. I don't think this is anger. What happened is that Jesus come in and make a whip of cord. He drove out from the temple area. Now you don't understand the original Greek text for the term drove out here is practically cast out demon. The term used for you drive out demons out of the demon possessed. So what it means that what Jesus was actually doing was he was doing an exorcism on the temple. He was actually cleansing up the place for the Gentiles, for the person who's supposed to have the rightful area for them, to allow these people to come back. Now, when you look around, in that instance, there are two things that happen. One, the people who actually did business there, it's actually good for them because they are doing the wrong thing. But for the people who were rounding Jesus and saw that instance, what happened? They knew that their place was robbed to do something else. And they saw Jesus did that. If I'm among the Gentiles, I would really appreciate what Jesus has done. Isn't it? Some people said, can you relate to this now? That's why the disciple is not shy to say, when they saw Jesus doing that, they all of a sudden they remember Psalm 69 verse 9 about zeal for your house will consume me. What does that mean? That means that is the compassion of the God. The compassion of God is to restore true worship for everyone. That's what the temple is there for. And what happened is that there are two accounts that you need to know. There are two accounts in the four Gospels that Jesus cleansed the temple. The second account, Matthew, Mark, Luke, all record the second account in the final week of Jesus' ministry before he went up to the cross. And for John, today's scripture is the very first account that John recorded. He recorded right in the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Now, why did he do that? The reason that he did that was that he was trying to present a Messiah. He was trying to present to the audience that, look, the Malacca, the prophecy of the Messiah has been revealed in the person of Jesus. So that's why he made that arrangement here to put it right in the beginning to let people, hey, the Messiah has come. He's come as a temple of God. And then, when you go down further, you see that then the Jews wasn't happy with it. The Jewish leader, when we talk about the Jews, it was talking about the Jewish leader. The Jewish leader was not happy with all the things that Jesus has done. And they asked for a miracle sign. And the reason for that, the point was not the miracle sign. The point was challenging Jesus' authority. You know? What authority do you have to do all these things? We are the leaders here, and how dare you come and clean up our tables here? Now, I can understand why they felt that way. Why? Because this is the prayer of house versus the prayer of prophet. All right? The prayer of prophet is the Jewish leader's interest. It's not in the interest that house remain a prayer of prayer, house of prayer. So this is Jesus is up against this thing. And what happened was that Jesus was, in this instance, some scholars actually did some estimation. I don't know how they get the figure. If you are one of the Jewish leader, you would want to kill Jesus too. Why? Because for Jesus to do that, if Jesus was successful in cleaning the temple, cleaning out all the marketplace, it cost them $1.2 billion per year. We are talking about US dollar. All right? That means if this is your interest, would you want to kill Jesus? So that's why they decided to kill Jesus right from the beginning. It gives us a hint then. But that's not all. When they challenged Jesus, Jesus countered back. Jesus was not shy. Jesus said, you destroy this temple and I will show you that miracle of I'll raise it up in 3 days. You want a miracle? I'll show you that. But that miracle actually, church, look at verse 19. This is the highlight of the scripture of today. All right? destroy this temple and I will raise it up in 3 days. That's a miracle. All right? It is a sign and wonder of God's kingdom. All right? You destroy. Jesus is promising us. You destroy yourself as a sinner and God rebuild you as a temple. You get that? Now, this is a statement of facts that Jesus made in that very beginning of the ministry. And it went viral. Why did I say that? Because 3 years later, when you come to chapter 20, you find that people are still talking about it. Talking about the same thing at the bottom of the cross, that this thing came true. The facts that Jesus stated came true in his death and resurrection. And sadly, and we all know, when Jesus talked about this, he was not talking about the temples, the physical temple building. He was talking about his own self. He was talking about his own death and resurrection. Now, in the temple of resurrection, we need to understand a bit of background before we can actually really get into the details of what actually a temple means. Now, in the history of Jerusalem, the temple has three. This is the third temple that we're talking about. Jesus stepped into the third temple. The first was created by King Solomon, destroyed. And then second was Zerubbabel, rebuilt in 1519 BC, and lasted for 500 years. It was a total mess. All right, it was rebuilt, but it was a mess. And then now we come in 19 BC, Herod the Great stepped in and reconstruct. But it took him 46 years until Jesus' time and was not complete. When Jesus stepped into the temple, that temple was still incomplete. And after Jesus spoke that statement, it was destroyed in 70 AD. And up until today, this very day, it has never been rebuilt. Why hasn't it been rebuilt? Some people give a speculation of maybe time is not come. My personal perspective is, you don't need one, because Jesus revealed himself as the temple of God. Why do you need another one? Every time I give you a physical building, you ruin it. You ruin it, isn't it? Every time we give you a beautiful building, you bring more wickedness to the church, to the temple. So, church, then that's why the Jews laugh at him and say, wow, it takes us 46 years to build, and you want to build in 3 days? All right? That's why you understand where it's coming from. Now, when we come to this temple, we need to understand what is actually the true meaning of temple. Temple is not like what we think of today. I've seen so many temples, but the temple we're talking about is normally a physical building, a physical place that we're talking about. Now, according to the Jewish tradition, what is a temple? Temple is a heaven, is a place, is where heaven and earth meets. It is a symbol of God's divine grace and loving kindness to mankind. All right? And then the Bible states, Jesus stated clearly, the temple building doesn't matter. Keeping the Sabbath doesn't matter. But Jesus said in Matthew 12, say something greater than your temple. What is that? God's compassion. That's the point when Jesus quote God's compassion. And this is what God favor in. This is what God favor in the temple. So when we look at today's now, when you come to Jesus, this reality came upon Jesus. The temple, the reality of the temple came onto Jesus. When Jesus died, he connected us with heaven and earth. Isn't it? He became the bridge between the sinner and the Father. He is the reality which the temple, the meaning of the temple points to. Full of grace and full of truth. That's what it means when he said he was in among us. He was the God's tabernacle among us, full of grace and full of truth. He did not come to oppose the temple. He did not come out of anger. He wiped the temple because he cleaned the temple because he loved the temple. He wanted to save the temple. Why? From who? He wanted to save the temple from people diminishing the holiness of the temple. That's why he come and clean. He come and clean it up so that he can make way for the unreached. that is rightfully for the Gentiles. So as you can see, all this reality came onto Jesus. This is the meaning of temple. Where do you see a place in here? There's no place. It's not a building. It's not a location. No, it's not. It's in the person of Jesus. And then sadly, when we see, this is the saddest part of the scripture, when we see that this, the disciple who has been following him and ministry with him for 3 years, only remember after he raised from the dead. This is show how stubborn we are as a person. It might say takes us some time, but the joy thing is that they came to Jesus. They believe, and believing in Jesus. After Jesus died, after Jesus ascended to heaven, what they did? They built us a church today. That's why you see Ringwood. That's why you see me. That's why you're able to read the Bible. That's why you're able to week after week, churches after churches, are able to create events after events to help you to worship God in truth and in love. And we come to the final part. Now this is the funniest part. They come to the part where Jesus come in. And there are so many people in there. And this is a part that confused most people. Let me read to you. Now while he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many people saw the miraculous signs he was doing and believed in his name. Now remember this. Believe, he believed, right? That's what the theme of John was talking about. But Jesus would not entrust himself to them, for he knew all men. He did not need man's testimony about that, for he knew what he was in the man. Now, what does that mean, actually? It confused me for many years until when I do research on it and read up many articles, finally got it. Why? Now, the reason that John put this part of here was that what Jesus was simply trying to say is that I do not believe your belief. What Jesus was trying to say is that I do not believe what you believe. Reason being that you came only for the miraculous sign. These people came for a miraculous sign. They believe in the name of Jesus. It's just like you believe in the name of Jimmy. All right, but what do you believe in me? You believe in what I do, but you don't believe in who I am. You see what is different? They believe in what the miracle was, but they do not believe the person who performed that miracle. They do not believe, they have not yet believed. You see the disciple just now, it took him 3 years after Jesus' death, they finally believe in Jesus. How about this crowd who saw the miracle? They were in a state of fake faith or superficial faith, a faith that can't save. Why John put this here? There's a reason. John mentioned all this is that wanting to tell his audience, like us, to say, look, Jesus performed miraculous signs. These people believe in Jesus, but Jesus do not believe in what they believe. This is not true faith because they only come for the food. They only come for the miracle. They don't come for who? For the Son of God, the Son of God, the Maker, the King of Kings, and Lord of Lords. They didn't come for that. Jesus knew them because they're sinner. All people are sinner. So this is actually setting a stage for the next what's to come. The next one, next week when we come back, we're going to talk about the saving faith, which is really critical. That's why I split up into 4 Sundays for you. I hope that you will stay tuned and come and join us and see what it means to be a saving faith, not like what Jesus mentioned here. Now, church, what can we all learn today? Simple. Temple. We learn the lessons about temple. Temple is God's call. It's not a place. It has never been a place. It has never been a place. It will never will be a place. A temple in the concept of in the hearts of God is God's compassion. It's a temple is a symbol where God used. It's a vessel that God used to show his divine grace, his give out to generosity of his loving kindness for all nations, for everyone. Today we come to the church. The reality is that every time we step in the church, do you see the same old people again and again? What does that mean to you? Are we not growing or are we not? Are we fulfilling what is in the scripture today as a temple of God? So today, this responsibility, we can see the ultimate temple was presented in the person of Jesus Christ as the temple of God. And for those people who follow Jesus and be his true disciple, we live, this temple is also in the life of all disciples. That's what the Bible says. We, our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And with this, if you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, then you find favor in God. You are considered a righteous man. Church, when we finish off here, I just want to challenge you today. If we are structured in such a way that God has called us the temple of God too, what is in your Gentile courts? What are you selling in the courts of Gentiles today? For people who have not come to Jesus, I just want to take this opportunity to invite you as well. All right? The temple of God is created for you. Jesus came for you and me. Jesus came specially for you because you have not heard the gospel. If you're on the screen today, if you come join us for the first time, I want to invite you later on the screen, write to us. I would love to we would love to pray with you. We would love to explain more about the story of Jesus and what this is all about. This is not just another religion. This is, we're talking about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He is the real deal. He is the temple of God. For those people who have been following Jesus all this year, we want to pray for you as well. Let us know. All right? What is in the temple? What is the courts of the Gentiles that you need to clean up? Is it your career? Is it your properties? Is it your schoolwork? That you leave it all in the Gentiles area, that you got no time to reach out to the community. So church, let's work together. Work together and then show the temple of God to our community. Show the God's compassion to the community. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for coming to us and illustrate to us what it means to be the temple of God. Father, we thank you for your compassion. We thank you for your loving kindness. We thank you for your grace. All we ask is that, Lord, you empower us today as we go out throughout the week, that we show compassion to people and show and reveal to our community through our prayers, through our action, that we are truly your temple. We are truly that represent you on earth. And Lord, as we continue on this week, ask for your blessings and keep us safe and keep us connected. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.